97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
All right, this is a very special piece of bumper music here, Jane, for this segment. And I don't know if you'll recognize it. I don't know if they do it at Alabama, since you're now a big Crimson Tide fan. But on third downs at Fro Field, this is what you hear. This song here. And I heard it last night in the Atlanta-Tampa song. You know this one? Have you heard this before?
I have heard this.
Frank Cusimano's with us this afternoon. This thing gets stuck in your head, Frank. They play it every third down in Columbia. Now I heard it again in the NFL game last night. But it is kind of catchy. How are you this afternoon?
Everything's great, Mark. Very excited about tomorrow at 11 a.m. in College Station.
Well, let's start there. Mizzou coming off the bye week. They didn't look too great a couple of weeks ago. They've had some time to repair. Look, I think, you know, you and I have kind of called it the same way. Brady's look a little shaky here, but the team, you know, one of the things, Frank, that I've put my trust in here in the last two seasons, last year in particular, this coaching staff has had this team prepared. Even when I thought they weren't quite ready, the coaching staff had them prepared. I'm going to have to hope that they did it for this trip to College Station tomorrow.
Yeah, and I don't think we're breaking ground here, and I think we both agree on this, is for them to win a game in front of 100,000 people against the top 20 is going to have a lot of touches. Yeah. And I'm sure Missouri knows that, but it doesn't happen often enough. And it's not always Luther Burden's fault. It's not always Brady Cook's fault. It's sometimes the OC and Coach Drink's fault. But Coach Moore, the OC, has got to find a way to get Luther the ball. Yeah. Texas A&M has a defensive end who's number one on Mel Kiper's pro football draft list. So I think a key to this game is going to be the Mizzou offensive tackles giving Brady time to throw and for getting him the ball to Luther Burden.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Well, the line is what, like 2.5 at this point, I think?
It is, yes. Mm-hmm. And Mark, I don't know if you've heard a little bit of the fun they've had this week. Coach Elko at Texas A&M has tried to feel like the Brady Cook has disrespected the Texas A&M crowd, because Brady revealed this week that Mizzou is practicing with two loudspeakers like 2 feet behind him on every offensive play. And he says it can't be any louder than that. So Coach Elko says he's disrespecting the 12th man. We can't let this Mizzou quarterback do that. So look, if you're at a concert and that speaker's right behind you, I think that's awfully freaking loud.
I
think
too.
A 22-year-old senior can handle it.
So this is, you know, one of the things that I'm worried about. The run game for Mizzou has been relatively good. The Texas A&M run defense was earlier in the season, I think, a little bit better than it is in the last couple of weeks. But that's where Mizzou has sort of succeeded in the run game.
You're right. And, you know, Texas A&M, on the other side, they're not going to beat you via the pass. I mean, they want to make this game down and dirty. They want to keep it low in points. But I do think you're right, Mark. With the way Mizzou has run the ball, I mean, great success.
All right, well, I'm very much looking forward to having Bernie Miklas on the show. He's going to join me after 5 o'clock. We're going to talk mainly about the Cardinals, Frank. We visited on Monday afternoon after the news conference, and there's been a lot of reaction since then. So after digesting what happened on Monday at Busch Stadium and having the week kind of move along, any further thoughts or different thoughts than the beginning of the week on what happened there on Monday?
Well, I think it appears, although we have no, you know, proof about this, I think it appears that they're going to shop Nolan Arenado, Sonny Gray, and Wilson Contreras. And I think the fascinating thing is going to be is how will Cardinal Nation react to this? I mean, you're going into a season without anybody with any star power. And I don't think it's necessarily not a terrible thing to do to shop these guys, because you're not going to win with them. But boy, to go into a season with a bunch of guys that are 26 and younger without long resumes, I would not want to be Joe Strom, who's one of the great ticket salesmen in St. Louis history, trying to sell season tickets.
Well, and I understand that point, but I also think that our fan base is rather educated, and they've been so impatient and really disappointed in what's happened so far. And we loved Goldie and Arenado, and they came here to win championships, and I think we kind of let them down. Maybe the front office let them down. But I think the fans would be relatively okay if we're pushing forward to get the young talent on there. Again, is it a rebuild? Is it a reset? Whatever you want to call it, it's going to take a little while. And maybe getting the young stars or the young potential stars more playing time would be the best move now. Then again, you can lose all the games early in the season and nobody shows up, right?
Yes, and the word young potential stars has a huge question mark behind it. because with the exception of Mason Wynn, there's only one young player that we know is headed for stardom. A couple of them could be good, but the rest of them have question marks.
How would you have liked to have been in that, I still call it Miller Park, American Family Field, that's BS, just like the Sears Tower, I'm going to call it the Sears Tower, but when Pete Alonso hit that home run, the Brewers are just an out away from going to the, you know, out of the wild card round to the division series, and Pete Alonso, the meathead that he is, just kills their dreams last night, Frank.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to disparage the Brewers because they own the Central Division. It's their division. The Cardinals just rented there now. But it is amazing the lack of success and the total futility of the Milwaukee Brewers in the month of October. They're incapable of having a long run. And Alonso, you know, for what, say what you will about him, he's had some big moments, and that was special last night. And never root against a guy whose last name ends in a vowel.
And good point there. And how about Mike Schilt getting to the next level also?
Absolutely love it. One of the great mysteries in St. Louis sports is why was Mike Schilt fired? And I'm rooting for the guy. Could not be nicer. And, you know, the great thing, you know, the thing about him is that talent level on that Padre team. I was looking at that starting eight, and I'm wondering who in the Cardinals could actually start for the San Diego Padres. I mean, Mike Schilt may have been wounded and devastated leaving the organization he grew up in, but boy, he is managing a much better team right now for you know, the next 3 or 4 years.
Hey, one more topic here. Do we have a sense? I think they won last night in overtime. The Blues are in the preseason right now. Hockey season just around the corner. Any sense of how they're playing right now, Frank?
Well, up until that moment, they had been horrendous. They were 1-4, outscored 15-8. But last night, they had their best players out on the ice, and they looked good. I think, you know, Mark, what you talked about that Cardinal model. I think Cardinal fans would be content if they had a Blues type of game plan where they've infused a team with young talent that you know is going to come through. And I think the Blues, although they may not be a playoff team this year, they are definitely in the right direction.
What's coming up on Sunday night?
Okay, couple things. Brady Cook, exclusive interview on our Sunday night quarterback segment. We sit down with Ben Fred talking baseball. And a look at the most fascinating basketball figure, or one of them, in St. Louis history. His name is Drew Hanlon from Webster Groves High School, a 5'11 white guy who played small college basketball, who Jason Tatum, Brad Beal, Joel Embiid, Giannis Antetokounmpo all go to him to learn how to become a better basketball player. I don't know how he's done it, but it's an amazing story.
That sounds it. You've hooked me in with that tease.
Definitely.
I'll tell you that. We will tune in on Sunday night. Thank you, Frank. Have a great weekend. We'll talk on Monday afternoon.
Okay, guys. Take care.
Hopefully after Mizzou Tiger victory. I'm so nervous about tomorrow. Okay, Jan, I'm hoping. Because if they get off, this is what I do, just because mentally I can't take the torture. If they get off to a bad start tomorrow, I might just turn the game off and say I cannot watch this.
You're going to have to resist.
You're going to
get the food, whatever it takes. Get the pound cake, whatever it takes for you to sit there. Because I think this bye is going to be good for them. And I think they're embarrassed and they're going to want to prove it.
Okay, well, we are still pointed because you, and we've mentioned this before, your daughter works for the University of Alabama Athletic Department. So you become a bit of a Crimson Tide fan by default. A little disappointed in that. However, since the Tigers play in Tuscaloosa in a few weeks, we're going to the game together. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And once you've been in Bryant-Denny, I mean, I was not even a college, you know me, I was not even a college
that
football fan.
That place looks pretty incredible.
Until I went to Bryant-Denny and I'm like, oh my God, this is something that you can't even.
It's unmatched.
Yeah.
It is unmatched.
It's unmatched.
So how did they, because
and we're gonna tailgate.
When I was watching last week, when I was watching Georgia and Alabama, I mean, it looked like the lines then you do not want to go into it as an opposing fan. Is that, am I going to have to wear red?
Yeah, you're going to have to learn the words to Dixieland Delight. Or you can't.
That is true.
You cannot be there.
I know the words to Afternoon Delight. Does that count?
No. You were going to have to, I'll send you, and you have to get the Alabama version because it, you know, it has its own words.
You can educate me.
Yeah.
Good luck against Vanderbilt. The Tide plays them.
Yeah.
Ethan thinks it's a bit of a trap game. I would love to see that happen, right?
I would
Stop
not.
That.
How
would
do you
not.
Feel about A&M tomorrow?
You know, I think that right now it's up for grabs. I think that I could see Mizzou holding their own. I could also see Mizzou completely fumbling the bag and just getting the
crap. You didn't really instill confidence there, I don't think.
I know, we're beleaguered Mizzou fans.
I still like Mizzou in this game, but I just think it's hard to be super optimistic for either side right now. It's going to be a good game.
Well, we'll get thoughts from Bernie Miklas is going to join us. He's doing some regular stuff on our sister station, KMOX, and I thought, you know, it'd be a good opportunity to get Bernie on, especially this week talking about the Cardinals. Rick Wakeman, also at the bottom of the hour, he was the legendary keyboardist with Yes. He is coming to play the final one-man solo solo tour at the Sheldon, which is an awesome venue, on October 20th. And I spoke with Rick a couple of weeks ago, and he was very excited about the show and the interview, so he's going to join us right around 5:30. Jane, have a great weekend. Enjoy the football. We'll talk on next Friday.
You got it.
All right, see you.
Get more at 971talk.com.